Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
King Solomon writes in the Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 3, "Like the finest apple tree in the orchard is my lover among other men. I sit in his delightful shade and taste his delicious fruit. He escorts me to the banquet hall. It's obvious how much he loves me. Strengthen me with raisin cakes. Refresh me with apples, for I am weak with love. His left arm is under my head, and his right arm embraces me. Promise me, O women of Jerusalem, by the gazelles and the wild deer, not to awaken love until the time is right. Ah, I hear my lover coming. He's leaping over the mountains. He's bounding over the hills. My lover is like a swift gazelle or a young stag. Look, there he is behind the wall. He's looking through the window, peering into the room. My lover said to me, 'Rise up, my darling. Come away with me, my fair one. Look, the winter is past, and the rains are over and gone. The flowers are springing up, and the season of singing birds has come, and the cooing of turtle doves fills the air. The fig trees are forming young fruit, and the fragrant grapevines are blossoming. Rise up, my darling. Come away with me, my fair one.'" Now, you may be thinking, Dustin, come on. Is that really in the Bible? It is. It's been said that the Song of Songs is so passionate that the Jewish rabbis would prevent their students from reading it until they were 30 years old. And you know, as Christians, we should not be ashamed of this kind of passion, but we're to celebrate it in the context with God's design for sexuality. And today we continue our conversation with Dr. Julie Slattery, and we're discussing her new workbook for single women. It's called Sex and the Single Girl. In today's podcast, we'll discuss several things. Number one, how and why the consequences of sex outside of marriage impact us in such a unique way. And number two, why the sexual union between husband and wife is a mysterious metaphor for Jesus' relationship with us. Today's show is titled, "The Mysteriousness of Sex and Marriage." It occurred to me, I don't know, a couple months ago, Julie, that sexuality seems to be one of the last things that we learn about God. And that's what I hear you saying, is that this is, sexuality is it's a physical reality, a physical manifestation of a deep-seated spiritual reality. And if Christians are considering themselves sexual atheists, boy, that really puts things in perspective. It really puts things in compartments, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. You know, and I think we like to live life in compartments because I don't know about you, but like right now, we're doing some work in our house. And so there are certain rooms in our house that are really neat and organized, but our basement is an absolute mess.
Oh,
we put
no.
everything in our basement right now just so we can get other rooms ready. And I think that's sometimes how we live our Christian lives. You know, we have certain rooms or compartments of our life that we're really comfortable showing other people, that we're like, hey, this room is in order. I'm following God in this area. And then we've got those basement areas or the attic where you just stuff all the junk and you're like, I'll get to that someday. And I think you're right that for many people, sexuality is that area where it's like, that just feels like it's too big to deal with. I'm not even sure where to start.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's kind of where I go for a release or to deal with stress. And so it's very common for Christians to say, I've got, you know, 85-90% of my life in line with God. But this one area, and I'm not just talking about single Christians, I'm talking about married couples, for whom sexuality is just a mess. They don't know how to talk about it. They fight about it. They withhold sex from each other. And everything on the outside of their marriage looks good, but this is the area that they just keep stuffing all the junk. And so the call is really, hey, if we're going to be people of integrity, we need to invite God into every aspect of our lives, including our sexuality.
Yeah, Jesus, come on in, but please don't go in the basement. You can have the run of the full house, but for the love of God, don't go down there. You know, that's where the sexuality stuff is.
Yes.
Let me ask you about the kind of diving further into understanding our character and our faith, this idea of sexual choices actually being spiritual choices.
It's hard to explain this. I mean, some of it is, again, going back to that metaphor, but also it's recognizing that I choose what I do in every area of life from my heart. And my heart is either going to be about Julie wants what Julie wants. You know, I feel mad in this moment, or I deserve to have this sort of sexual expression, or I'm not happy in my marriage, so I should be able to fantasize about somebody else. You know, that's one heart. And another heart is, my life belongs to God. You know, everything I do, I want to be an expression of honoring Him, of seeking Him, you know, of having a right relationship with Him. And again, I think we deceive ourselves when we think I can do that with some areas of my life, but not with others. And, you know, there's a proverb in the book of Proverbs that talks about, you know, can a man scoop fire on his lap and not get burned? And that proverb is relating to sexual choices. And again, what we see over and over again in research is when you think that you can begin making sexual choices from a heart of I want what I want and selfishness, if you think you can do that without having consequences in your heart, in your relationship with God, even in your own body, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 would say, then you're really deceiving yourself. And so recognizing also that, and I know that you'll resonate with this, Dustin, because of the work that you do. When you begin seeing the rampant destruction of sexuality in our culture, whether it be from, you know, the scandals about sexual abuse and harassment, or whether it be something as horrific as human trafficking related to sexuality, we've got to start to say, I'm either contributing to the problem or I'm part of the solution.
Yeah.
And so, you know, God has just really shown me that every choice that I make, even if it's a very private choice, I'm either colluding with this destruction of sexuality, or I'm saying, hey, God, would you use me even in my own private choices to be part of bringing your light and your truth in reclaiming this area of sexuality? So that's some of the context of really understanding that you can't separate your sexuality from who you are as a spiritual person.
You know, what I hear you saying is this idea that we are mind, body, and soul, and you referenced there the Apostle Paul with 1 Corinthians 6. And he says specifically, you know, sexual sin is it's a unique kind of sin. You're sinning against your body, and it affects much more than any other sin. Can you expound on what he's talking about there?
Well, I think to some extent that's a mystery. You know, and I think that he alludes to it, the Apostle Paul alludes to it even in Ephesians chapter 5 as a mystery, that somehow our sexuality and the union between a man and a woman in marriage is this mysterious metaphor for Christ's relationship with the church. And it gives me comfort that Paul says this is a mystery, because I'm like, okay, if it's still kind of a mystery to Paul, then I don't feel so bad if I can't fully explain it. But when you read 1 Corinthians 6, Paul is saying, you know, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The God dwells in you if you're God's child. Should you take the temple of the Holy Spirit and unite the Holy Spirit with a prostitute or with any form of sexual immorality? And Paul, what Paul is saying there is, and he even uses this earlier in the chapter, if you eat a cheeseburger, it goes in your body, it goes out of your body. It's really not that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, the way God has designed us sexually, our sexual choices are a big deal. And we can never separate the spiritual aspect of sexuality. We can never just say it's just a physical thing, it's just a physical release. And I can't explain it other than to say that's part of God's creation. And it's the reason why when we sin sexually, it impacts us so deeply. You know, Dustin, not only when we sin sexually, but when we're sinned against. You know, I'll talk to a man or a woman who at the age of 5 had one episode of sexual abuse that maybe lasted 10 minutes. And that one episode of sexual abuse will impact them throughout their lifetime, you know, with shame, with choices they make. Why would one thing that lasts 10 minutes make such a profound impact? Because, again, our sexuality is intrinsically spiritual and moral. And as much as our world tries to tell us it's not, even the way we react to sexual trauma and sexual sin, the way it follows us, you know, it really testifies to that.
The Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 5, verse 21, "And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. For husbands, this means love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. He gave his life up for the church, to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without spot, without wrinkle, or any other blemish. Instead, she's going to be holy and without fault. And in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds it and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church, and we are members of his body. As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it's an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one." Well, friend, for us to understand this passage correctly, I think we need to define what love is, because we can't use the world's definition of love, because their definition is a counterfeit. It's a fake. It's a phony, because love includes sacrifice. I define it this way. It's putting someone else before me, no matter the cost to me. And let's face it, we don't like to do that, do we? We love ourselves. And see, that's not good. But what is good is that Jesus loves us more than we love ourselves. And we see that on the cross. Tomorrow, we continue this conversation with the struggle of sexual temptation with Dr. Julie Slattery and her new book, Sex and the Single Girl. And lastly, if God nudges you to make a year-end donation to a ministry or any organization, I would pray that you consider donating a tax-deductible gift to God, Sex, and You. You're listening, so it means something to you. It means something to your church and your family. Not only are you listening, but people all around the world are listening. And we're so grateful for what God has done in the past. 2017 has been a great year. We're reaching 80 countries around the world. And you know what? We want to reach the other 80. We want to take this message of purity, of reading God's word through the lens of sexual purity, and take that to the four corners of the world. And we need your help to do that. You can become a purity partner with us for only $1 a day in 2018, or you can give that one-time gift, that year-end gift, by visiting DustinDaniels.org and just click on Give. Well, thank you so much for listening to God, Sex, and You. You can follow me on Twitter and Facebook at Purity Pastor. And if you've got questions, I would love to hear from you. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they're going to see God. Can't wait for that day. But until that day, we are going to walk worthy, aren't we, my friend? We're going to walk worthy. We're going to work worthy as well. We're going to cling to Jesus. We're going to praise and we're going to worship. I love you, and I look forward to our time again tomorrow.